When Magic and Medicine Mix, let's learn about Magic Aid and M3 David Elkin. Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining me for this, the 207th episode of Admissions Trade Talk, the podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. My mission and passion is to help you get to that delightful instant when you can jump up and down shouting, yes, I'm in. Not only in, but in at the best program for you. Our guest today is a now fourth-year medical student at Stony Brook who graduated from UC San Diego with a bachelor's in physiology and neuroscience. Nothing too unusual there for a med student. However, things start to get interesting, maybe even enchanting, when we learn a little about his hobby, magic. He has been performing magic since middle school. He performed at the well-known Magic Castle in Hollywood and at parties and events in the Los Angeles area. He retired from performing magic at age 20, but by then had founded Magic Aid. It gives me great pleasure to welcome David Elkin. David, welcome to Admissions Straight Talk.
Hi, thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Pleasure. Now, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, where you grew up?
Sure. So I'm a fourth year at Stony Brook right now in medical school. I'm from Los Angeles, and that's pretty much where I grew up. I did my undergrad at UCSD, so I lived there for 4 years. And then after UCSD, I was pretty much working and stuff. And then I applied to med school, and now I'm out here in New York at Stony Brook for med school.
Okay. And how did you get interested in medicine, come to pursue a career in medicine?
So it's actually been a pretty circuitous path for me to get to med school. I knew I was always interested in medicine, and I knew I wanted to be involved in it in some way, but I didn't always know I was going to end up in medical school. I'd say since a young age, I was always interested in, you know, science, technology, as obviously in medicine as well. And actually in undergrad, I was a dance major my first 3 years, and it wasn't until my fourth year when I actually switched to physiology and neuroscience. At this time, I was also doing magic professionally. And after undergrad, I was pursuing, you know, the entertainment industry, still doing magic. I was also doing, you know, some filming, directing, wow, producing, casting. And then from then on, I actually went into technology, and I was working as a startup, as a software engineer. I was doing a lot of stuff in the tech space. And it wasn't until after that I, you know, went to medical school.
So how many years actually were you out of college and before deciding that you wanted to be a doctor?
So I graduated in 2011 from UCSD, and I took 3 gap years before medical school. But I actually took the MCAT my senior year of undergrad. So I applied in med school with my last year of eligibility for the MCAT.
Oh, wow. So you knew when you gave up dance that medicine was a possibility.
Yeah, I always knew I was interested in it. So I, you know, took the MCAT. I always wanted to have there as an option. And then I just, you know, did other stuff that I enjoyed, knowing eventually I'd, you know, probably go into medicine. I didn't know exactly what capacity, but then, you know, at the time I decided to apply. And here I am now.
Wow. And all right. So you try different things in Hollywood, try different things in technology. And I guess performance has kind of been a steady theme throughout it. How did you start doing your magic? Let's start with that.
You know, my mom would always buy me all these magic kits and tricks for kids when I was young. And I always had an interest in it. And then, you know, in middle school, I had my bar mitzvah, and she actually invited a magician to come to my bar mitzvah and perform. Uh-huh. And, you know, after that, I was just hooked. And I had friends that happened to be doing magic at the time. And so we started a magic club actually at our school. We would get together, do magic and juggling every day. And then I was, you know, in combination with that, I was also really into card games. I used to always carry around a deck of cards with me. And so it just happened to be that I was also interested in magic. So I used those cards to play card games, but also do magic. And then all of us in that magic club auditioned for the junior membership at the Academy of Magical Arts, which is better known as the Magic Castle.
Uh-huh.
And so from then on, I just kept doing magic.
Wow. I think I mentioned to you before the call that my brother-in-law also did magic and I think still is a member of the Magic Castle, though he doesn't perform, you know, he hasn't performed there in years. I think he did perform briefly, though, occasionally. What is Magic Aid? What's its backstory?
So Magic Aid is an organization that's dedicated to relieving stress and anxiety for the pediatric population, you know, mostly in hospital pediatric population, and by performing magic for them and also teaching them magic. So we coined this term, you know, magic therapy.
Uh-huh.
Actually, I don't know if we actually coined it, but we started calling it magic therapy through research. You know, there's other organizations that do some form of magic therapy as well. But, you know, it started when I was in high school, and it just kind of started randomly. I was working as a volunteer at a hospital when I was in high school, just performing regular orderly duties, you know, taking specimens to the lab, discharging patients, making copies of paperwork. When I was walking on the pediatrics floor, and I actually saw this one girl in her room crying, and she was really scared about an upcoming surgery that she had coming up. And so, you know, I just popped my head in and started talking to her. And I had a deck of cards on me because I always carried a deck of cards. And I just decided to do some magic for her. And, you know, she really loved it. And I ended up spending a while with her just performing for her, doing magic. And she really liked it. And she completely forgot about the surgery that she had coming up. So that's when I went to the volunteer director and I told her about that experience. And I said, you know, would it be okay if in addition to my regular volunteer duties, could I come back, you know, once a week and just do magic for the kids? And she said, yeah, that sounds great. And so that's how Magic Aid was born.
That's wow. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's a great story. So it started at you were in high school then, right?
Yeah, I was in high school. It started back in L.A.
How has it grown since then?
Yeah, so while I was still volunteering at that hospital, one of the nurses
in Tarzana, is that the hospital in Tarzana?
Yeah, it was Tarzana Hospital. I think it's a different name now, but it was at Tarzana Hospital at the time. One of the nurses working on the peds floor, she actually nominated me for this cool kid segment that was on ABC7 Eyewitness News.
Uh-huh.
And I ended up getting it. And so they came to interview me, and that was my first, you know, the first media attention I got for Magic Aid was on ABC7 Eyewitness News.
Wow. How old were you then? You were in high school. Wow.
ABC, I was 16 or 17, I think.
Yeah, that's pretty big. I mean, I'm in L.A. That's a, you know, pretty big exposure, to put it mildly. Major.
Yeah, it was awesome. And then, you know, I was doing magic. I was still working at the Magic Castle. I was actually invited by then president of the Magic Castle, Neil Patrick Harris, to be on his innovations committee there, which was basically in charge of putting on events, designing different tricks, gags, and illusions. So I was always doing magic. And then meanwhile, I was still performing once in a while for kids at the hospital. It wasn't until I started medical school at Stony Brook that I really kind of revamped Magic Aid, and I brought it to Stony Brook. And then I started doing magic for kids at Stony Brook Hospital. And then I told some of my classmates about it, and they were really interested, and they said, that's cool. Can we come up and watch you do magic for the kids? And I said, you know, instead of watching me, why don't I teach you some magic, and then you can go up with me and join me and actually do magic for kids? And they said, yeah, that sounds great. And so that's when I actually opened it up, and I started training other medical students to also do magic. And then every year it's expanded. We've recruited more and more medical students. And then we also started training other healthcare providers. We have some attending physicians. We have some residents. We have some nurses, mostly medical students, about 60 medical students that are trained now to do magic therapy. And we go around and perform for the inpatient, you know, pediatrics floor, the general floor, hemonc, the pediatric intensive care unit, as well as the pediatric cancer center and the pediatrics emergency room.
That's amazing. And are the students that are taking or learning magic, are they all from Stony Brook, or are you branching out?
Right now, they're all at Stony Brook. Recently, we've got a lot of media attention. You know, we were on NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt. We're on a whole bunch of, that was national, and then we're also on a whole bunch of local news stations. And so a lot of people from different hospitals and medical schools have actually been interested in bringing Magic Aid to their own hospital or university. So that's actually the next step is, you know, we're going to work on building connections with other institutions to try and spread Magic Aid to be nationwide.
That's fantastic. I told you before the call that we had a son, and tragically, he had leukemia. And I mentioned to David that one time there was actually a magician performing across the street from our house, and he really wanted to go. We knew the magician socially. He was really, really good. And he just couldn't go because he was immune impaired. But the magician ended up coming over just to our house to perform for our family. It was our son's birthday, seventh birthday. Mm-hmm. And he just lit up. He just had an absolute blast. And it's, you know, those kids are going through a tough time and yeah. They don't really understand what's going on. Now let's go back again. I think it's a fantastic story and wonderful work that you're doing.
Thank you.
Let's go back to when you applied to medical school. What was the hardest part of the application process for you?
Hardest part of the application process, I'd say, was probably all those essays you have to write. You know, it's that personal statement, writing it, rewriting it. It's edit after edit,
that's
revision
right.
after revision.
That's
it
right.
It takes a really long time.
Yeah.
And then all those secondary essays that each school has their own secondary application and their own secondary essay, too.
Yep.
So.
You're right.
That's probably the hardest part just because it's so time consuming and a lot of work goes into it. But luckily, you know, for some of the secondary essays, a lot of them have some similar themes. So
correct.
You can actually recycle some of your essays, which worked out pretty well.
You can adapt. You can adapt.
Yeah.
You know, obviously your life is not going to change between different schools, but some of the focus might shift depending upon the school and the particular values of the program at a given school. But yeah, for sure. No, it is very demanding, the writing required for applying. Now, let's also talk about for a minute about your medical school interviews. What was the most memorable question you were asked?
The most memorable question was probably, can you do a magic trick for me?
And then my next question was going to be, were you asked it all about magic? So what did you do for them? What did you do?
I'm proud to say I did magic pretty much at all my interviews except for the MMI ones.
Serious?
I did, yeah.
Asked about it. Wow. So you always, do you still always carry a card deck with you?
Well, not so much anymore. I did for the interviews. I had a deck of cards on me. And really the best interviews were the ones where, you know, they just had a conversation with you. They asked about your interests. And those are some of the most memorable ones where they just looked at my interview. They looked at my resume and they said, wow, that's really interesting. Tell me more about that. Or I see you do magic here. What's that like? Do you have any magic with you? And then, you know, I think that's what got me into med school eventually.
That's fantastic. That's wonderful. Now you're at Stony Brook. You've completed the didactic portion. You're halfway through your rotations. What do you like best about Stony Brook?
You know, I really like a lot of the faculty members here. A lot of them are really supporting and are really supportive. They've allowed me to make Magic Aid here, what it has become, the level that it's reached. I've also developed, you know, some really meaningful and close relationships with a lot of faculty members that not only mentored me medical career-wise, but also life-wise. And I think, you know, it's been really great here.
That's fantastic. Wonderful. What would you like to change at Stony Brook?
Well, at Stony Brook, so they have this new curriculum they call the Learn Curriculum. And I happen to be the first year that, you know, that they introduced this new curriculum. So I guess they call this kind of the guinea pigs for this new curriculum.
Yeah.
And they shortened the preclinicals from 2 years down to a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so I'm actually all done with my clinical rotations from third year now. I just became a fourth year. So everything's kind of shifted to make the fourth year an actual year and a half. So that's probably been the most frustrating part. But, you know, once they get it down through a couple iterations, and, you know, get it settled, I think it'll be better. But, you know, I guess that's not something I can really change, but I've been trying to provide as much input for them as I can. I'm on their technology curriculum committee. They're trying to integrate iPads into the curriculum. And so I've been, you know, trying to do my best to help out with that.
Are they going with more virtual reality and, you know, imaging?
Not so much virtual reality. I think, you know, there's some talks I heard about in the Sim Center. They're trying to see if they can get some more, you know, technological updates, maybe some virtual reality in there. But more just on the curriculum side of things, you know, all incoming students now get an iPad. And then when you become a clinical student, you can switch it in for an iPad mini to use on rounds and stuff. But mainly just getting the coursework and the curriculum more digital.
Okay. And what are you, so you've been on rotations now for a year and a half?
So the rotations are a year long. So I finished my rotations in March. And then I took step 2 CK just now on Monday.
Oh, congratulations.
And thank you. And so now I'm actually doing my sub-I for emergency medicine.
Okay. And what are you going to be doing for the rest of the year until you match, until you start your residency?
So, you know, I'll be doing my sub-I, and then I'm actually going to a conference in Las Vegas for Child Life. You know, trying to keep working on Magic Aid and doing stuff for Magic Aid. I'm also going internationally to Israel to try and do some Magic Aid, you know, globally. I'm also, you know, doing my OA rotations. I'm most likely going to be applying to emergency medicine. So I'm going to be doing some OA electives in emergency medicine.
So you're not choosing pediatrics?
No, I'm going to be doing emergency medicine.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Actually, that was going to be one of my questions. Where do you see your career going in the future in terms of residency and specialties and stuff like that?
Yeah. So I think, you know, in terms of residency, I'm really leaning towards emergency medicine right now. I really like pediatrics, but, you know, I really want to be able to help anyone. And I think, you know, given my background, I've done a lot of different things. I have a lot of interests. I think emergency medicine is kind of perfect for me because you are a jack of all trades and you're able to help anyone at any time. And you know, you're not the expert on, you know, one topic, but I'm okay with that. I like being able to know a lot of things.
You think you'll use your magic in the emergency room?
Yeah, definitely. I've actually been using it on my rotation in the ER.
Wow.
So I want to, you know, career-wise, I see myself doing emergency medicine. And what's also great about it is, you know, the hours and the lifestyle. You know, you're working 14 shifts a month. That's full time. So that would also give me an opportunity to continue working on Magic Aid, as well as, you know, going back to tech and business, which is what part of my background is in. I'd like to get back into doing that. So I think it's a specialty that really allows you to pursue your interests outside of medicine as well.
Okay, great. That's fast. That's, you know, sounds very logical to me. And I think you have something great going on with Magic Aid. So it makes a lot of sense. What is surprised? Is there anything that has really surprised you, like about doing rotations? Was the fact that you found the ER to be the most interesting surprising to you? Or is that what you expected? Or anything that surprised you about the whole rotational aspect of medical school?
I think what I found really surprising is how subspecialized medicine has become while going through my rotations. I mean, there's like an expert at like every small thing. Like, you know, I watched, for example, some procedures for interventional cardiology. So that's to get there, you know, that's someone that did an internal medicine residency and then a cardiology fellowship. And then an interventional cardiology, like subspecialty, and then electrophysiology subspecialty. And then within that, they specialize, for example, in ablations of atrial fibrillation. So it's just, there's like experts in every subspecialty. And so I think that's what really surprised me, is that there's so many possible career paths that you can take if you decide on a career in medicine.
Right. Right. And obviously, and again, you're very deliberately choosing to be a generalist on some level, correct?
Yeah. I mean, I went through my rotations and I kind of liked everything equally. And so, you know, I was in between, obviously, pediatrics because I really enjoy working with kids. I really liked orthopedic surgery. I liked, you know, being in the OR and, you know, doing those procedures. I thought they were really cool. But in the end, I couldn't decide just on one thing that I wanted to do career-wise. So I think EM would be the right choice for me because I'm able to do a little bit of everything. You know, you do some orthopedic procedures, not surgical, but you know, non-surgical procedures in the ER. You see kids in the ER. I really like psychiatry, so you see some psychiatry in the ER. So you really do get a little bit of everything.
You have very broad interests. What's in your crystal ball for Magic Aid?
We're actually building our board of directors right now, and we got Justin Willman on our board of directors, who's a really well-known magician. He was the host of Cupcake Wars. And, you know, he's going to bring his experience to Magic Aid, and he's going to help us, you know, spread it through the rest of the magic community. And so, you know, we really want to see it, you know, in every hospital and medical school across the country. We're starting to do research projects actually this summer with pediatrics as well as the anesthesia department to see how magic therapy can relieve stress and anxiety in patients, you know, and improve their overall hospitalization experience. For anesthesia, we're seeing if it can relieve stress and anxiety in kids pre-op. And then we have a whole bunch of other ideas with occupational therapy about how it can improve hand muscle function and dexterity, as well as gross and fine motor skills. We have some ideas with autism, how, you know, kids with autism, by teaching them magic, it actually helps them with their social skills.
Amazing.
So we have a lot of big plans for magic. And it's really exciting because, you know, with magic therapy, there's so many different applications to it.
That's fascinating. Do you see any application with adults?
Yeah, so while Magic Aid is mostly focused on kids now, I have been doing magic therapy for adult patients as well and get some great feedback. I'm thinking about maybe spreading to the geriatric population, maybe doing some work with veterans, doing some stuff with the skilled nursing facilities and different geriatric centers. So that I definitely see that in the future. But, you know, right now we're just kind of starting with the pediatric population.
Yeah. Okay. It's fascinating. Anything you wish I had asked you?
No, I think it was very complete.
Thank you. And any last bits of wisdom or advice that you'd have for pre-meds or even medical school students? I mean, I started off by saying that you had a fairly traditional path, but obviously you had anything but a traditional path to medical school. So,
yeah, well, I guess for pre-med students, there's no real perfect recipe for getting into med school. You know, I was a dance major for part of my undergrad career. I'm sure if I would have stuck with dance, you know, I would have still gotten into medical school. Just do what you enjoy doing. You know, I didn't do my stuff in entertainment and tech because I thought it would help me get into med school. I just did it because I wanted to explore different things, and that's what I wanted to do, and so that's what I did. And so, you know, in the interviews, if you have something that you're really passionate that you can talk about that really makes you glow, I think that's what'll matter for the interviews.
Well, clearly it mattered for you if you were doing magic tricks with everybody, but, you know, interviewing you except for the MMIs. I mean, it's, you know, that really speaks very loudly.
That's true. And I'm not saying not everyone has to go out and learn magic for their interviews. But if you do have something unique about you, obviously that'll be helpful. But really anything that you're passionate about that you can talk about in your interviews that, you know, maybe separates you a little bit from the crowd will definitely be helpful.
That's great advice.
As far as advice for current medical students, just my biggest advice is, and it took me a little while to learn this, is really don't compare yourself to others. You know, everyone has different ways of studying, different resources that they use. Just don't let it bog you down. You know, there's some students in my class that spend 8 hours a day in the library studying. There's some people that, you know, study a couple hours and then go do something fun, relax, and then study more. So there's no perfect recipe for that either. but just don't compare yourself to others. Do what's best for you. In terms of deciding on a specialty, I think, you know, it's okay to factor in lifestyle and salary. A lot of people think that's a taboo subject, but
I think it's fairly important.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
If you want to be happy.
Yeah, I mean, it's also, you know, an occupation. And so, you know, why should doctors not be able to think about that while people in other occupations do? So I think that's definitely okay to factor that in. So I wouldn't let anyone, you know, tell you different. And then lastly, just make time for things that you enjoy doing outside of school and studying, and don't give up on your hobbies that you enjoyed before medical school.
That's wonderful advice. David, I think we're running out of time, and I know you're a busy med student, not to mention magician. Thank you so much for joining me for this podcast, number 207, and thanks for sharing your experience, your perspective, and your magic.
Definitely. Thank you.
Where can listeners learn more about Magic Aid and its wonderful work?
So please visit my website. It's magic-aid.org. We're also on Twitter at MagicAid, and then Facebook, facebook.com/MagicAid.
Okay, great. We're going to link from the show notes at exhibit.com/207 to the Magic Aid site, as well as to other related resources that listeners might be interested in. Listener, thank you too for tuning in to this, our 207th episode. If you found this show worthwhile, please make sure you don't miss any others. Subscribe through your favorite podcatcher. We have subscribe links in the show notes at exhibit.com/207. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I am your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.